Well, good morning to those of you gathered in this space, and to those of you joining us online. Bob Calvin Charles Roberts has left this world and graduated to heaven in the same manner with which he lived within this world, with dignity and with grace. And so we gather in sorrow because of the loss that we feel and will endure from time to time in different measures. But we remember and are strengthened by the love and the kindness that has generously been poured out by God through his life toward us. My name is Dave Persad, and it is a distinct privilege to guide our time together on behalf of Scott and Peggy and their family, and Sue and Jim and their family, and his church family at the Sarnia Missionary Church. Together, we affirm that our coming together, whether in person or online, is to honor, to celebrate a life well lived, a love selflessly given, and a legacy that will be shaped by those impacted throughout Bob's life. And that includes us. In so keeping, then, we want to turn our attention towards the words of life which strengthened Bob day by day for many, many, many years. The Bible says this in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you." In John 14, we read these words that Jesus spoke before he left the earth, and knowing the pain that our hearts would suffer in this world, he left us this promise: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, you may be also." And the Apostle Paul wrote these words in 1 Thessalonians: "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Let's pray together. Our great God, our compassionate Heavenly Father, we ask that your presence would surround us and guide us today. We give you thanks and ask for that your spirit would comfort us, that your words would strengthen us, and that our hope would be renewed by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask that you would help us in our questions of death and life, of darkness and light, of grief and comfort. Even as we spend time in reflection of a life well lived by your faithful servant, Bob. For you, our God, are our Father, God of all creation, the author of life. Would you bring honor and majesty? Would you bring your grace and your peace through these moments of reflection? In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You should have some music sheets in your hand. I'm going to invite our team to come, and they're going to lead you through this first song, is I Will Rise.
Thank you. So this is part of the music team from Bob's home church at the Sarnia Missionary Church. And it's Amanda Persad on the piano and Pat Turvey on guitar and Jerry Hawley on drums. And Jerry and I were talking earlier this week. It's the first time I've ever been asked to invite a drummer to a funeral service. It's the first time Jerry's been ever asked to drum at a funeral service. And Bob sure loved our music team. He would come early. He would listen to them practice. And he loved especially when he knew Jerry was playing. And they were all led by Brittany, Bob's granddaughter. And thanks, Brittany, for putting this team together to honor your grandpa, Papa. We've got a couple tributes that we want to share with you. And the first I'm going to share, in addition to the music, is from Twyla Van Rienen. Some of you will know that Bob and Twyla have shared a very special friendship over the last dozen or so years. It's been meaningful and strength-giving to both of them. Twyla is unable to be here today as she's in Thunder Bay. But she has sent me this note that I will read. And I'll try not to think that it's Twyla talking about Bob as I read it. I've known many people in my lifetime, but there are few who could compare with Bob. Kind and caring and always there for his family, never forgot a birthday, all his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, always a card with some money in it for his grandchildren. He always spoke so highly of all, doing his best to help them in any situation, and many people in our church have benefited from his generosity of visits when they were ill, or even to pick someone up and or just to go out for lunch. He loved to laugh. He was a true and loyal friend. He honored and nurtured his many friendships. He had an enormous capacity to give of himself. He loved to win at cards and always showed mercy when playing Monopoly. That may or may not be true. I'm just reading the words given to me. That can probably be validated within this room. We are all going to miss him. His decency, his sincerity, and his kind soul. These will stay with his family and with me forever. That's from Twyla. I'm going to invite Jim and Sue to come.
Thank you to everyone for sharing this special day. I've been not crying, and now. Our dad was a very kind, gentle, loving soul, a man of God who loved to belly laugh and slap his knee when he laughed. He was a very hard worker all of his life. Many may not have known, but he did not graduate high school because his parents owned a grocery store when he was needed to work. This was at Mel's Foodmaster on the corner of Nelson and Napier. Dad helped run the business, but became a butcher by trade. Eventually, the business closed, and he butchered for Dominion Grocery Store. Then he became one of the front store managers at Century Department Store. When they closed, Dad went on to study real estate, to which he finished his career of 40 years later, working alongside his brother Lee. He retired at 85, but not by his choice. Dad was married to the love of his life, or in butcher's term, his prime rib, for 50 years before Mom passed away 17 years ago. We even found a beautiful love letter that he wrote to her after 45 years of marriage. Dad was a wonderful dad, grandfather, papa, great-grandfather, great-papa. He loved his family, his friends, and his church family. Dad was an active member of the Sarnia Missionary Church for over 45 years. The last 12 years, he had a very good friend and companion, Twyla Van Rienen. He was always a gentleman, holding coats, chairs, doors, even taking off his hat in an elevator if a lady was present, up to just months before he even did this. Dad was always ready to lend a hand to anyone. He was a member of Junior Chamber of Commerce. He volunteered at the end of the Good Shepherd. He was a teacher and a friend at Sarnia Friendship Group for 10 plus years. Always came to church early to listen to the music practice, hand out bulletins, to meet and greet and seek people. The last year and a half has been tough on the whole world, but the last 3+ years, Dad's health had slowly started to decline. But he was always concerned about others who were hurting more than himself. He would always say that he was great or bordering on magnificent. Dad was always so very thankful for everything and all the care he received, even up to the days before. He had a good sense of humor that even made the VONs roll their eyes, which I wish I could repeat some of the stories. Dad, I love you. I'll always miss you. Forever in my heart, Susie.
So Bob welcomed me into his family 37 years ago, and he's always treated me like a son. When I asked for his advice, and I didn't take it, he never said, "I told you so." He would always support me. And I felt equal with Scott, and thank you, Scott, for sharing your dad with me. He was a devout Christian man. He demonstrated his love for the Lord by helping others. If someone was in need, he was there for them. I'd like to share two stories with you. I remember a trip we went to Port Elgin, and when the grandchildren wanted to swim in the pool, he was the first one in because he loved his grandchildren. And then we were walking on the beach in the afternoon, and there was stones jutting up out of the water, and so we, trying to hop the stones and not get our feet wet, well, Bob wanted to take a turn too. So he missed the first stone in the water, and he skipped along just running in the water. And so we give him a hard time afterwards that he thought he was Jesus trying to walk on the water. So he spent the rest of the day in wet shoes, and he was humbled that day. Next story is, we needed a roof, and I decided that we could do it ourselves. At this time, Bob was 79 or 80 years old, and he really wanted to help. So I said he could pick up the shingles that missed the bin and do some cleanup on the ground. Next thing I knew, he was on the ladder, popping shingles off the garage roof. Then he was on the garage roof. And next thing you know, he was on the house roof. He enjoyed being up there helping. And then after the third day of roofing, we were done and exhausted. I turned around to take one final look, and here's Bob walking along the edge of the roof, bending over, picking out shingles from the eaves troughs. I yelled at him, "What are you doing?" "I'm cleaning up." I says, "We're done. Get off that roof now before you fall off." I share these two stories. There's many, but I share them because they both define Bob's character. He loved his family. He liked being with his children. He loved his grandchildren, and he wanted to spend time with them. And so that's how he was. That's where his heart was. He made time for his family. And in the second story, it didn't matter what he was doing or what I was doing, he wanted to help. Whether it was raking leaves or picking up trash or doing a roof. And I thought about this after, when he was walking along the edge cleaning up, I thought the job was done, but he knew the job was not done until the cleanup was done. And that's how he worked. He was there to help, to work, and he worked till the end. He never stopped short. Bob moved in with us about 12 years ago, He was up early and gone by 7 a.m. every morning. We would usually have dinner together, and after dinner he would retire to his room. He always wanted Sue and I to have our own time. He was always thoughtful that way. He was always appreciative and thankful right up to the day he went into the hospital. When I helped him with something, no matter how small, he always said, "Thank you, Jim." And I just want to say one more thing. To Sue and to Scott, to Peggy, it was always my honor and pleasure to serve Bob in these last days. I will miss him dearly. I love you, Bob.
Thanks for sharing insight on all of that. And as I've said to the family over these last number of weeks and over these last number of days, they're your example of honoring what you know to be his heart's desire. Your willingness to serve him even when it was uncomfortable for you is a great example to all of us. And certainly, as we learn, it's an example that you learned from him. And so thank you for allowing him to finish well. I want to read to you some words, and I'm going to speak on these in a few more minutes. But they come from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. I'm going to start in at the end of chapter 8, and I'll move into chapter 9. It says, "Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn." And then it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." That's the word of the Lord. The words that Bob lived by, and the family allowed me to take Bob's Bible home for a few days. And it, you know, it's one of the joys, the privileges that I get in times like these. And I will say it was easier to read the parts that weren't highlighted than the parts that were. And how many times, in my conversations with him, that he has read through the Bible fully from front to back. And you can kind of see, depending on the color of highlighter, the color of pen, those patterns as he's done so. The light has dawned, the light of truth, the light that lived through Bob and shone into us. We'll talk about that more in a moment. I'm going to invite the team to come and sing, "Great Are You, Lord." I shared this with the team on Tuesday night, just a few weeks ago. I can't remember if it was the last time or the second last time that Bob was able to be with us in person on a Sunday. But one of the enduring images I hope the Lord continues to give me over time is this song being played on a Sunday morning. And Sue and Jim had gotten used to moving a chair in front of Bob so he could stand and hold himself up. And this song is playing, and he's holding on to the chair with one hand, and his other hand is raised to the sky, and he's singing with all that he is. When you hear the lyrics of those songs, right? To sing with all that I have. I will never hear that song the same way again, because I saw it lived out in front of me. He loved the music. I think it brought light to to the darkness of his fading physical capacity. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about. It's a time of remembrance. It's a time of celebration. Amid the sorrow and the loss that we feel. And it's an intentional choice to bring this kind of reflection because it's based on Bob's faith. As we recognize that he is united with his Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is reunited with his bride, Barb, with whom he spent 50 years here. This perspective allows the darkness of death to be overcome by the light of hope that is our promise through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And, you know, talking about light is appropriate, I think. It's Christmas time, after all. It's a time of year where many of us put up lights in our homes and around our homes or on our homes. It's a time of year when we drive around looking at everybody else's homes and saying, why didn't we do that? Even the waterfront in our city is covered with lights. And in fact, we call this display the celebration of lights. Indeed, there's something really beautifully captivating about how light breaks through darkness. And from this passage that I read just a few moments ago, it is apparent that the spiritual condition of those who heard it the first time, centuries before the birth of Jesus, is not that different from many of us and our feelings today, so many centuries after the birth of Jesus. We can feel alone. We can feel darkened by sorrow and isolation. And therefore, these words are reminders not just for today or for a season. They're important words for times when we feel hopeless. These are reminders that God promises to bring change. And from that change, there is hope. It's dramatic. It is powerful. And it's a change, as dramatic as a change from darkness to light. He says that he is the source of powerful hope. Great is the Lord who brings light that crushes darkness, who brings joy in the time of harvest, who brings victory even after a battle. When God speaks of the contrast between darkness and light, he amplifies it by mentioning the harvest and the rejoicing of a victor over the vanquishing of a foe. These vivid word pictures are meant to convey one message, that God rescues us. It is only light that can chase the darkness away. It is only the bounty of harvest that makes the labor during the season joyful. And it's only victory that makes a battle worthwhile for us as well. For us as well, there's only the light of God's truth that can chase the darkness of this world's solutions. And so just as darkness, the darkness of night is broken by the light of the new day's sun, just as a seed dies in the darkness of the soil, and yet by light it comes to find its purpose and yield a harvest. And just as Gideon, as we are reminded in Judges, in the book of Judges, encircled in any enemy camp in darkness with only 300 other people. And at the same time, they broke their vases, which covered torches, and light flooded the enemy camp, and victory came. We are reminded of this simple message, that light conquers darkness every single time. God rescues us. It is God who makes the sun to rise. It is God who causes the crops to grow. It is God who brings a victory in battle. None of those things come about by our own efforts, but only by the hope-inspiring power of a mighty God. And Jesus is the promise, the fulfillment, the light in a world of darkness. God sent Jesus to rescue us. Isaiah's words are words of hope, stirring our hearts to look to God for a solution. And so it is that we are reminded in the shadow of sorrow and in a season of light that God's greatest promises start with the birth of a child, with the gift of a son. These two small phrases tucked away in the middle portion of the Bible, of God's holy word. These two small phrases capture the mystery of Christ, fully human yet fully divine, born from a woman yet gifted to us by God. The life he would live and the death he would die would further identify his earthly presence in this world. Yet the baby would be uniquely divine, the indescribable gift of the Son of God. The Gospel of John in chapter 3 says it this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict," it continues: "light has come into the world, but men have loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." So God rescues us powerfully through the birth of a child and through the gift of his Son. This is the gift that transformed and informed Bob's life through all these years. His faith in Jesus Christ allowed the light of Jesus to shine through him towards you and I, so that we could see plainly what God has done. And some of those have already been itemized and talked about for us. Others, you have been the benefactor of, and you hold added items on that list. Here are a few of mine. The sincerity of a simple thank you, or a generous tip to a server, the awareness of a need, and the quiet desire to help someone. Bob had the ability to read the room, read a circumstance, read an event, and figure out what else might be needed and supply it, even if it was inconvenient. He would do it in a graceful, humble, kind manner. As Sue mentioned, putting out bulletins, opening a door. He ran the elevator, the lift at Friendship Club. He would come in and clean up leaves when our church held a harvest party on Halloween and we made a disaster of the place. He would stay till every last leaf was cleaned up. Bob demonstrated that light breaks the shadows of darkness. And he did that by breaking into the darkness, bringing his light into the darkness other people were experiencing. He was fueled by the light-giving truth of God. As I mentioned earlier, he had in his Bible, he had marked out where he had read through the Bible many times. And I remember a number of years ago, we started putting inserts in the bulletin for how to read through the Bible in a year, and we put them out month by month. And Bob would come to me. He came to me at a certain point in the year, and he says, "Pastor Dave," he said, "yeah," he says, "I want to thank you, for putting those out. I'm reading through the Bible," he says, "but I have a problem." He says, "I got too much time on my hands, and I'm reading too fast. I need the next month." And so we would get the next month ready. And so he had, and I noticed in his Bible that particular year, I think it was 2008, that particular year, he had finished reading it in 8 or 9 months or something. He had gone that much through it. And that was one of many times that he did that. The other cool thing I thought that he did was he had the covenant of membership. This is what he agreed to, his commitment to our church family. He had that right on the inside cover of his Bible. And he also had many directories spanning many, many years, so many people's names that were tucked inside of his Bible. And he had these note pieces of paper, and sometimes he would write people's names and a need that he would have and a reminder to himself about addressing that need. The list is probably much longer, and undoubtedly it is. And so though he is no longer present, we are now pointed to the source of his light, that is Jesus and his truth. And so may we find our strength in like manner. And therefore, we do not have to lose hope. We also can be beacons of light, a light to those around us, shining like stars to others who walk in darkness. And from time to time, we will experience the shadows of sorrow and darkness again. And so we must be also reminded to be patient with one another as we wait for the light of the next day's sun. The sorrow we will experience will be present, but we may draw comfort from the light of the love that we have experienced. And so it's important to remind one another of those streams of light which originated from Jesus, passed through the life of Bob, and have radiated to us all. Bob shone brightly. His life was fruitful. He battled hard throughout it with little complaint and ultimately experienced the victory won for him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can have that same certainty of everlasting life with Jesus by acknowledging our need of his offer. Maybe today, maybe now is the time for some of us to relinquish our own hold on life and confess our need of Christ and to know truly the peace, strength, grace that he desires to give to our lives. Undoubtedly, most of us already know that this life's journey is difficult, and we can't avoid the struggles, the sorrow, the pain that may come our way. And today might be a painful day. Maybe it'll be later today. Maybe it'll be tomorrow as we remember back on Bob. Yet we can know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And the promise of that faith leads us to the Father, to an eternal home in heaven. And having passed from this life to the next, Bob clearly and completely understands that God's greatest blessings one day awaits those who place their hope and their faith and their identity in Jesus Christ. In the presence of God, our tears are wiped away. There's no more death. There's no more mourning. There's no more crying. There's no more pain. And there'll be no more darkness, for Jesus, the light of the world, will take away every shadow for all of eternity. And so as we close, we're going to pray together. I'm going to invite the team to come back, and they're going to sing us one last song. It's Cornerstone. Really, Cornerstone is the establishment of our faith, that which we base everything off of. And it's a fitting tribute to our brother Bob. So let's pray together. Our living Lord and our Savior, we thank you for being powerful enough to conquer death and the grave for our sake. We thank you for being gentle enough to walk and talk with us, to help us as we navigate the roads of life. And so we submit ourselves to your care, and we ask that in our present grief, you will bring comfort and strength. We ask that in darkness, you will bring light. We ask, God, that you will continue to renew us with the good remembrance of those things done through our brother Bob, that were done out of his desire to love you and to honor and love those you've placed around him. We thank you for this. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for honoring Bob in that way and with those well-chosen songs. And may you, as you go from here, first I want to mention that there is lunch across the parking lot in the next building. And when you go in, you'll be offered, I think, two choices. And so you'll pick up your box and then you'll be seated at a table, and then the refreshments will be, coffee and tea will be brought around to you. And so it would be, family would love it for you to spend some time over there with them as well as we go. And may you also, as you drive around over these next few evenings and you look at lights, recognize how stunning, spectacular other does light change the darkness. And as you do, may you think of Bob, and may you give thanks to God for his impact on your life. And perhaps you might also tell somebody else about a light that God sent to brighten your world. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God's peace be with you. Thanks for coming and spending this time. We'll see you just across the way. Do you have any instructions for how they should leave?
I'll just ask everyone to please stand and we'll follow in behind the family.